Guys, welcome to today's Encore show from the 26th of February, 2021. Bringing it here, bringing it home to the present day of 2022, today the 31st of January. Now, from this show last year, John Jerryman, the former musical theater friend of Margaret, sort of a mentor, now in retirement, a singer, a dancer, kind of a kooky guy. John is on the show with the help of a nephew, and he wants to fly to Hollywood and pitch a TV show idea with the help of his nephew, right?
Yes, John will go to Hollywood with his nephew.
All right. Did he ever go to? Let's wait
for the show.
All right. We'll wait and see what happens here on the show. Also, Ted Bell lets everyone know no doggy bags.
All right, yeah.
Great. Anyway, that's our... thanks, bud.
Look.
That's our Encore show for today. Let's dig this at philhendryshow.com. World famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California with Phil Hendry, Margaret Gray.
Oh my God.
Margaret Gray, Robert Leonard.
Yeah?
Bud Dickman. Shut up, you guys. Well, I'm trying to remember everybody. Just shut up, man.
Don't tell me to shut up.
Margaret, he's trying to remember the names.
Trying to remember the names. I've been on this show. Margaret Gray, Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard B., and
you said your own name twice.
General Galen Shaw. Thank you.
I can see that's not going to work out very well either.
Why have we stopped doing what we usually do? And what is this music, Bud?
What are you talking about?
This music sounds like some limp dick. Oh, my God.
What do you mean limp dick? That's the music of, what is this? It's called,
What is it?
Look, it's Loyalty Freak Music by Last Energy of the Day.
What?
You told me to pick from the surf pile.
Anyway, it sounds like some guy who's barely conscious picking at the guitar. Yes.
All right, well, that was a great rollout, so I...
What were you trying to prove? I'm going to be the announcer to announce people. Robert, once again, Robert, the fair-haired... You know something?
Robert's not fair hair. He's got black hair.
You know, wait a minute, man. I want one guy announcing. We'll alternate it, okay?
You're about to say I got black kinky hair.
Yeah.
It's an expression, okay, Bud? Fair-haired boy is an expression. You don't have blonde hair either.
Yeah, but you didn't say I had a fair-haired boy.
The fair-haired boy?
The fair-haired boy.
You know what I'm talking about. Welcome to the show. Not the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Oh, so grateful that you've joined us. And today,
what do we got? I thought I put the heater on. It's cold in here, Phil. Is it making too much noise?
Yeah, it sounds like...
It sounds a little bit... I'm talking to Phil.
Bud, you got the...
Yeah, we are picking up a little residual, you know, the noise floor, you know.
All right, man. It's too loud, in other words.
Yeah.
All right, let me turn it off, Margaret.
Well, now I'm going to freeze my... God almighty, Phil, why don't you invest in some heat down here?
We have heating, and we have the electric floor heater. You know, this wall heater that we have, man, is so old, I'm afraid I'm going to blow this place up.
Oh, my God.
Phil, you're kidding, right?
Yes,
I'm kidding. Most of the time, it's hotter than hell down here, okay? And so we have the air conditioner. It's hot because the studio equipment makes it hot.
Phil, I'm down here working here all the time. I know the temperature down here, and there are days when I feel as if I'm going to freeze to death.
Margaret.
To death!
Margaret, does she have to do that?
Margaret, does she have to... Are you talking to me?
Wait, I'm talking to Phil.
Do what?
Death!
I'm emphasizing, all right?
If it's too cold, may I suggest that we wear a little something warmer? What else can we do, bud?
Well, get Southern California gas out here, fix a wall heater. But as you say, it's very old and could be, I don't know, you know, could be explosion.
What are you talking about, man? It's not going to explode.
I don't know.
The only thing about that wall heater is I don't want to have another gas heater rolling around here, okay?
No, you'd rather spend the money on electrical heat, which is going to be much, much more expensive.
I don't know that that's the case. Anyway, get off all of this bullshit. Let's talk about the show.
Good God.
Let's talk about the show today. We have John Jerryman.
Yes, John Jerryman is going to be joining us. This is highly unusual. He is planning a trip to California. He's pitching a show idea.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not.
For television?
Yes, for television. And it is a... I don't even believe this. It's a zombie movie. I know. I laughed as well, but John is dead serious with this idea. A zombie film.
Like Walking Dead.
I don't think so. it is something a little bit more. I don't know what it is. It's not a comedy. I asked him.
John's on the line, right?
Yeah, he's Mr. Jerriman. Okay, he's been right back.
John Jerriman joins us from Philadelphia, and this ought to be real interesting. He's going to be talking to us. I don't know about what.
Yeah, Mr. Jerriman. Jerriman.
I, Phil, it's John Jerriman. Sorry that I walked away for just a moment. I had to put out a pipe. I was smoking a pipe, Margaret, if you could believe that.
Why are you smoking a pipe?
I thought I'd enjoy a pipe for the first time in several years. You know, I quit smoking a number of years ago, but I found one of these old pipes, an old Sherlock Holmes pipe. My father.
You know, that's not a very good habit to take up.
Kind of older. Old for smoking, would you say, John?
Am I old for smoking? How old were you, Phil, when you gave up smoking?
57.
All right, well, I've got you a few years on that, but...
Well, you don't smoke, you're just smoking that pipe.
I found the pipe and smoked it. It's not a big deal.
Phil wants to know, and we all want to know, John, about this idea. Are you coming to California?
I'm going to be in California on the 5th, March 5th, and I'm going out there with my nephew, Bruce, who works for one of the studios.
Do you know which one?
I do, and I don't want to say, all right?
I understand that.
Okay.
What do you want to say? I mean, you know.
I don't want to say because I don't want to say.
You got an idea for a TV show.
I had an idea for a television show. We had one of our movie nights here. And as you know, Phil, I'm at the retirement home. This is a senior center, I should say, not a retirement home. Here in Philadelphia, here in the Borsche District.
Yes, we know where it is.
Okay, well, I'm telling Phil where it is, all right? If you don't mind.
John, I don't want to get into an argument with you. I thought people already assumed they knew where...
All right, well, I'm letting people know again. I'm in Philadelphia.
Are you a little nervous about this trip?
I'm nervous because I'm coming to California. I have a meeting with this man, Boone, or Booneman, is that it, Bruce? Bruce is here.
Uh-huh.
Man's name's Booneman?
Yes, Deal Booneman.
Deal Booneman.
Yes. And I told him your idea, and...
Let me do this, okay, Bruce. I'm talking to Mr. Hendry. But Bruce is a producer at the studio. We won't mention which studio.
No, you probably shouldn't.
And because we want to keep this little... But the idea that we have, and I was watching, it was movie night, the film Night of the Living Dead. Now, it's a zombie movie, but in the film, one of the characters, who is the sheriff character, says to a television reporter, when the reporter says, are they slow moving? Because he's talking about the zombies.
All right, and you're talking about the film Night of the Living Dead that you were watching...
It was a senior. It was one of the films you have on Saturday night.
Yes, it was our Saturday night movie, and I'm watching this disinterested. But he said, "Are they slow moving, Chief?" Talking to the police chief, and he said, "Yeah, they're dead. They're all messed up."
Yeah, it's one of the most famous lines.
The famous line from the movie.
All right, I didn't know that, but it struck me as rather there was some pathos. Yeah, they're dead. They're all messed up, and my idea. It came to me right then that we have the makings of a television show whereby there is perhaps a pathos, some concern. You have the main characters are these zombies who stagger about the countryside, but do so not through any fault of their own, but because of whatever this would be, an act of God or some radioactivity or something that forces them to go out.
Yeah, like eat. They go out and eat the flesh of human beings, the living flesh of humans.
Well, and Bruce, you told me.
I think that you know that's something we've been mute in the storyline.
Yeah, we mute that in the storyline.
Now, this Bruce, this is your nephew?
Yes, it's my nephew. He works for the studio that we're going to pitch the idea.
You don't want him to tell, okay? So what, may I ask a question where your nephew's not listening?
What is it? He's Bruce, tell you what, go get me a mango juice. They're right there. See the glasses all lined up?
Okay.
This guy, your nephew, sounds, he's not mentally retarded.
No, he's not mentally retarded. He's not mentally retarded. He is not the most well-spoken man, but this is a man who's an associate producer at this studio that we're going to be pitching.
All right, so you're going to go over and pitch one of his bosses?
Yes, this is the... Bruce, who is the man? Don't tell me his name, but...
Lieutenant production head.
One of the production heads. So the idea we have is, yeah, they're dead, they're all messed up. The sort of the backstory of how zombies get through a day.
And can I just jump in for a moment? If they don't know how to talk, I mean, the zombies can't speak English, or they can't speak any language. They eat human flesh. How do you propose? It's a good question, John. How are you going to get the audience sympathetic to them?
Well, that's the challenge. But what I would do is introduce some music. And
this is not a comedy.
No, it's not a comedy. Is this striking? Bruce, tell me something. What I told you about, yeah, they're dead, they're all messed up. What was your first thought?
I thought that this was an evolution on the zombies. And that you could take the zombie story and you would take it from the horrifying creatures to creatures who are not in control of their own fate.
Exactly, not in control of their own fate. And
What do we follow these creatures?
Yeah, we follow them, yeah. When we feel that maybe one or two of them can speak basic English.
Like Bruce, you were showing, you were demonstrating.
Well, one of the zombies would say, let's go and eat. It's the only thing we can do is to eat. And I don't want to eat human beings. And in one of the scripts about when they would, you're thinking about eating a baby that they see in a bassinet, they go, no, let's leave it for the group behind us. But,
yeah.
Leave it for the group behind us.
Well, there's no way they're going to change this. They can't change their habits.
They can't change the habits of all zombies, but they can, in their own way, change their own. So this is a group led by Lugba.
Yeah, the main zombie's name is Lugba.
Why is his name Lugba? Was that his name in real life?
No, it's just how his real life name was probably something like Luther, but the zombies can't speak good, so it's Luther.
Yeah. So the head zombie has very rudimentary language skills.
I've got to interrupt you here. John, how did you get into the idea of producing and writing a television show? You have been a singer, a musical theater artist for as long as I've known you.
Because, Margaret, I'm sitting here at this assisted living, this senior center, night after night, week after week, month after month, year in and year out, staring at a television. Every month or so, I get up at a senior event and I sing. You know the problems I've had here with Cheryl and with Catherine, some of these old ladies that try to get their hand down there.
I understand that you have been harassed, yes.
Yes, I have. And this is my life. I'm going to put it to your plate. Some old woman trying to get her hand down into my bag of fruit. God damn it.
All right, so it's been frustrating.
It's been very frustrating. And when I was watching this Night of the Living Dead, yeah, they're dead, they're all messed up. And I called my nephew, who was on vacation. Where did I call you, Bruce?
I was in Hawaii.
He was in Hawaii. And I said, what do you think of this? He said, it's worth a shot. So I'm flying out on the 5th to meet with this man.
At
the head of production. And we'll see if this thing has legs, as they say in Hollywood. And I wrote a song.
Now, I told Phil, you have a song that goes with this.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we don't have the music, but you got the lyric sheet here.
No, we don't need the music. That's all. I thought I sent the music along.
I sent the music, but it was on... we can't use it on, like, digital audio tape.
That's all right. It's something that we don't really need. But it goes like this. Can I sing the song?
Yeah, I'm just going to sing the song lyrically, so not a plot line.
No. Yeah, they're dead, they're all... So the show opens, and there's Lupa staggering through the night with the moon behind him saying, we're not eating babies. No more babies. Leave it for the group behind.
And leave it for the group behind? Boy, that seems...
But we've got to keep the horror element. But you at least see that this group of zombies, right, Bruce?
This group of zombies is changing. They're changing. And they're becoming more moral.
The group of zombies is becoming more moral, so they won't eat babies, but they still eat people.
Well, yeah, I'm going to let you kill them, dummy.
I'm not trying to tell you anything.
I'll do it, Bruce. Because he has the way, because of the way you talk, people are put off by it. I don't. watch out. No, get me another mango juice or something, will you? But can you get me one of the Caesar salads they had, Salisbury steak?
All right. So you have this song. They're dead. They're all messed up. This is the theme.
Right. So as the zombie staggers out of the night in the prologue. And said, "No, we won't eat any babies. Leave the baby for the next group of zombies. Not next group of zombies, for the next group." And you see them the group stagger up to a bassinet. You know.
Good God.
That's not that bad because, just never mind. So, that's when we see on the screen. Yeah, they're dead. They're all messed up. Created by, hopefully, Margaret. Created by John Jerryman.
Oh my God, John, this is very exciting.
Yeah, and then, oh, they're dead, and then they cue the music. Oh, they're starring whoever. Oh, they're dead, they're all messed up. You can see it in the way they walk. You can see it in the way they talk. Yeah, they're dead, they're all messed up. Oh, they're dead, they don't talk good. You can see them hiding in the woods. You can see them famished. See them vanish. They're dead. They're all messed up. Then the musical break. Doon, 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 doon. Piano. Brought to you by Kellogg's Corn Flakes. I don't know how they do it.
Yeah, they don't do things like that anymore. Most of it is on cable. Yeah, it's all subscription-based.
All right. Well, great. It'd be subscription-based. So what do you think?
You want my honest opinion.
Well, John.
Yes, I want your honest opinion. I thought maybe I'd get some encouragement here.
My honest opinion is this, John. The fact that you were able to get a meeting.
Oh, the fact I was able. Are you listening to this, Bruce? The fact I was able to get a meeting, what?
I think is a very positive sign. I think that someone's going to sit down and listen to this. I think it's a crazy. Unless you can.
Crazy?
No, hold on for a minute, John. You asked me my opinion, okay?
I asked everybody's opinion, Phil. I don't need for you to be dominating the.
Well, I'll give you my opinion. I don't think it's any good.
John, I think it's a very good idea if it's a comedy.
Oh.
Well, John, what did you expect? I mean, leave the baby for the group behind.
That sounds like a comedy to you. That sounds horrifying to me. And, Bruce, you agree.
I like the beginning. It's horrifying. No, we're not going to eat that baby. Leave it for the group behind.
So a staggering, lurching mob of zombies come up behind his main. Is this Lugba's main group?
Lugba is in the lead group. Lugba's zombies are evolving. They're getting more moral. They don't want to eat babies. They don't eat animals or anything like that. And they rarely, if ever, want to really eat a child or a female. Most of their kill are men, and a lot of them guys we want to see die. So,
well, how do they know that?
Because they're evolving. They know this guy looks like. You know, looks like a what?
An nephew.
I can't understand a word he's saying.
What is it with your nephew? I can't. He's got some sort of a speech impediment.
No, he does not.
I don't like being a gentleman, okay? My voice comes across bad on the phone.
Voice is just coming across bad on the phone. All right. Oh, they're dead. They're all dead. So you don't think so?
I think it comes off sounding funny. It sounds,
You didn't.
I don't mean funny at all. When you're talking about leaving a baby for the back group to eat.
When you're talking about leaving a baby for the trailing group to eat, you think that's a comedy.
No, I don't, but the song.
The effect of the song, John, is that it had. There's a bit of humor there.
Oh, there is, really? So what if I told you the trailing group of zombies ate a baby? Does that sound funny to you?
You know it doesn't.
All right. So.
But then you kick in with the song. So, all right.
You're saying...
Wait a minute, I got it. So you're saying, leave the baby for the other zombies to eat. The baby is being eaten, and...
Oh, they're dead. They're all messed up. Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Oh, okay, man. All right, man. Mr. Hollywood there, huh?
You asked our opinion, didn't you?
John, you asked our opinion.
All right, well, that's my first mistake. My first mistake, Margaret. Was even calling up and saying, can I come on the Henry Show and pitch the idea? And my second mistake...
Your second mistake is singing that song. Oh, there you go. Singing that song.
Yeah.
Oh, really? And what's wrong with the song?
There's nothing wrong with the song, John, if it's a comedy. But, oh, they're dead. They're all... In fact, the name of the thing...
Vincent Henry, this is Vince. I think that you don't get it about Hush. They're dead. They're all messed up. This is a show showing sensitivity to zombies, which is a term, by the way, coined by your show, the multiple, more than one zombie zomba.
That's the other thing, Phil. I told Bruce and I told the production people in the studio that your show, you had coined the word for the more than one zombie, the plural of zombie being zomba. I gave you credit for that. And I come on here and I sing, oh, they're dead, they're all messed up. And I got you cackling like any run-of-the-mill cheap slut hen in the hen house.
John.
No, I'm sorry, Margaret, but I wasn't...
John, I think you're overreacting. Phil is giving you an honest appraisal. He's not Mr. Hollywood any more than I'm Mrs. Hollywood.
We're all just giving you an appraisal, John, and something you asked us, what do we think?
Yeah, well, that was my first mistake.
If you want us to tell you it's good, it ain't going to happen.
Yeah, it's We're Dead, We're All Messed Up is a pretty good song.
Well, I...
We like it, Chris. I think you're going to be very wrong. You're going to regret today when you are in front of Bruce Beanbody.
Bruce who?
My nephew's Bruce Beanbody.
You never heard of me.
No.
Hang up on
me. I can't hang up. They won't let you hang up.
Give me the phone. I'll hang up on the phone.
Can't hang up, Bruce. Mr. Beanbody.
Only then, right?
Can I get...
Hey, Kelly, I'm going to hang up on you.
Here, I'll hang it up for you.
No, I'm in the...
Bruce Beanbody, along with...
That was bad. I want him back on the line.
Well...
Yeah. Did Bruce Beanbody hang up on you? Did Bruce Beanbody hang up on you, Mr. Chairman?
I'm back, Phil. Bruce, don't... I'm back, Phil. I'm sorry. Bruce, I'll hang the phone up. They don't let you hang up. I'm back, Phil.
All right, so I wish you all of the luck in the world, John, but they're dead, they're all messed up, and the song...
You know what? I've had enough bad news today. I get people kicking me in my teeth every day of my life. I come up with idea after idea after idea, and people rear back and go, hey, you see this? This is called my left leg. Now watch where the toe of my boot goes, and I watch that toe of that boot. I follow it directly into my mouth.
Uh-huh. All right, John.
Oh, man. You know what? John has been an entertainer his whole life. I've never known him to write anything quite so macabre.
Well, is he kidding or something? They're dead, they're all messed up, and that song...
Well, I have it right here. Oh, they're dead, they're all messed up. If we could put a piano to it...
But Margaret, do you seriously consider that? Do you really believe...
I don't think anything. I think that in Hollywood, as you've often said, Phil, they're desperate for ideas.
Well, what is this idea, anyway?
Trying to make zombies. They're trying to evolve... The idea is an evolved pack of zombies that begin to regret eating human flesh. I don't know.
Yeah. They regret it, but they didn't. It's not their fault.
What?
It's not their fault.
The zombies are not zombies because of anything they did, so why are they filled with regret?
Wouldn't you regret doing things that you had been ordered to do? Like, for instance, war crimes. Well,
war crimes? Wait a minute. How dare you?
I'm sorry I misspoke. You know what I mean.
No, I don't know what you mean. If you're a zombie, you're compelled to do what you're doing because you're an animal. You're not a human. You're an animal. All right.
Here's right here. Oh, they're dead. See, the problem is John is a good singer. This is not his material, though. He should have...
Yeah, to hire you, Miss Gray. You just sing it.
Well, I don't know.
Sure, go ahead. Give it a whirl there.
Yeah. One, two, and the one, two, three. Oh, they're dead. They're all messed up. You can see it in the way they walk. You can see it in the way they talk. Yeah, they're dead. They're all messed up. Oh, they're all... I don't know what this says.
Fumbling and stumbling.
Oh, they're all fumbling and stumbling. Bumbling and stumbling about. They're dead, they're loud, they're crude, they're proud, they're dead, they're all messed up. They're dead, they're all messed up.
Yeah, you really hit that out of the park.
Excuse me, but I don't have the right keys written out here.
All right, well, we have Ted Bell. What is
where's John?
We hung up on John.
Oh, that's right.
We hung up on John because he was being made fun of, and you know. We're gonna be right back. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Oh, they're dead. They're all messed up. Oh, hi, everyone. I'm John Jerryman. And while I'm singing They're Dead, They're All Messed Up, which is sure to win a Grammy as one of the best new songs from a popular television program, I'd like to remind you that the Phil Henry Show, where you should get a subscription, just got done basically kicking me square in the you-know-what. They reared back, buried one of their boots in my mouth and the other one right up under the blankety-blank sack. That's what I got for being on his show. And I'm still here pitching that you buy a subscription to the Phil Henry Show, even though I took a pointy-toe cowboy boot to the balls!
The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Get a subscription for a year or for a month or for a year at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com.
The Phil Henry Show, the best value online other than porn and everything.
Yeah!
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Hey everybody, come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. Yes, we are in Ted's of Beverly Hills, and we're open for business. Limited seating, but we're getting bigger, better, and better than ever before. Ted's of Beverly Hills, open for business.
Do you want to put our meat in your mouth?
Ted Bell joining us here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. So, Ted, are you back?
Me and Phil, we are almost at 100%. The state of California allowed it, allowed us a limited opening. And I just want to check it. Can you hold on for a minute, Phil?
Yeah, go ahead. Ted Bell is with us from Ted's of Beverly Hills.
I think he's checking something, an order, right?
Yeah, you got a meat supply.
What do you mean he got a meat supply?
You got a meat supply.
Anyway, Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills is on the line with us. I think it's good news that when he says that there's a...
Yeah, for Bob Green, I don't accept that. I got another meat delivery. I got a meat delivery from Green. No, send it back. I don't take... Because what he says is, he goes, we give... Ted Bell takes Bob's beef delivery, huh?
Who are you talking to, Ted?
I'm talking to Scooter. Take it back and tell him that Ted Bell doesn't take Bob Green's meat.
Oh, you guys are so childish.
You know, Margaret, thank you very much for your opinion. I appreciate that. But you don't get it, okay? This is a marketing point. I'm not going to be known as the restaurant up in Beverly Hills that takes a regular load of Bob's meat, okay? Because what they do is...
I know what they do. They turn it into Bob Green is delivering meat to Ted Bell.
Yes.
And the innovation is it's going in your mouth.
Well...
Because, Ted, you have said that is a slogan that you're proud of, and other people can make it crude. It doesn't mean anything crude.
It doesn't mean anything crude when I say it, but when Bob Green says, hey, guess who's taking a delivery of my meat? Ted Bell. And he's down there all 5'6" of him going, yeah, you know, with a big billboard. You saw the billboard he had in Buena Park. He's got it right out in front of Disney World. It's a picture of Bob Green with a big steak and a caricature of me. And someone's holding the back of my head and he's shoving a steak in.
Oh, get out of here. No, he isn't.
Well, that's what you can well imagine it happening. So.
Ted Bell joining us from Ted's of Beverly Hills. So you're almost at so the state of California is allowing.
The state of California allowed us three-quarter capacity. And I think that a couple of months we might, God willing, the creek doesn't rise, as they used to say.
What does that mean?
What's that?
What is creek willing, creek?
The God willing and the crick don't rise is an old saying.
It's an old saying, bud, okay?
Still don't know what it means.
It's an old saying, dude, okay? It's like some old farm saying. Never mind. So
it's an old saying, God willing and the crick, meaning, if God smiles on us and we don't get flooded out, you know?
I'm not familiar.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't be. Now I'm in a bad mood.
Don't get in a bad... Bud?
Just didn't know.
Now, even I don't know what it means, and now it's starting to piss me off. Hold on for a minute. Hey, Chef, what is God willing and the crick doesn't rise?
Hey, Ted, let's get back to business here.
God willing, what? God willing and the crick doesn't rise. Means that the creek, meaning the riverbed, if that rises up to a certain level, that means you're walking around in water all day long, okay? And it looks like
you're some kind of a slob. Looks like you urinated yourself, that's all. What? Did you
ask? All right, never mind, man. Let's get back to the...
All right. So, thanks, champ. Whatever. So, yeah, we will be. Now, one of the things that I wanted to emphasize, Phil, and one of the reasons why I'm on your program tonight at Ted's of Beverly Hills, as you folks out there know, we serve up the juiciest, most tender steaks. We got our Kansas City Porterhouse. We have the full Porterhouse. We have, of course, the Filet Mignon. New York Strip, you name it, we got it. And those delicious sides you've come to know and love, along with, of course, the Ted's of Beverly Hills baked potato tree. Pick one off the tree. It's foil-wrapped and baked for your pleasure. Ted's of Beverly Hills that introduced the foil-wrapped baked potato back in 1976. You're going to love it.
Ted, you smiled so much through that, we didn't understand that.
Didn't understand what?
You've introduced...
Introduced in 1977.
The foil-wrapped baked potato is as old as 1977.
We're not going to do this again, Phil.
Okay, all right. Okay, fine. Fine. So, the foil-wrapped baked potato.
Right. And come on in. And as you know, Ted's of Beverly Hills does not do doggy bags. We had a couple of questions. We had a little bit of a problem with that last week. Some people said doggy bags. We don't do doggy bags at Ted's of Beverly Hills.
All right. So why not?
The reason being, General, is when you offer a doggy bag, you're basically saying, here, you don't have to eat this at your table. You can pretend like you're going to take it home to your dog. When you and I both know, you're going to throw it into a dumpster as soon as you get outside.
Now, why do you think that?
Because it's the truth. Because in many instances, it is the truth. Phil, I don't want to give people the opportunity to look at me and smile, really good. And then they go outside as soon as they know you're not looking. They take it and just throw it in the street. And
Ted, why do you think they would do that?
Because people have done that. Because I've seen people do that. Okay?
You've seen people take Ted's of Beverly Hills cooking, your great steaks, and throw them in a dumpster.
Yes, I have. All right? And I'm telling you, not a lot of people, but when they do it, okay, it angers me. And...
Well, why wouldn't you think that... Yeah, I think maybe that'd improve the cooking.
Improve the cooking? Improve the cooking?
Calm down, Ted.
Well, that's a hell of a question.
Yeah, but I mean, the people might not... They may not like the way it tastes. So what's the story?
Our cooking and our steaks and the food on our menu is second to none. People get doggy bags because, for whatever reason, the steak... You know, a lot of these people think they're big shots. Yeah, I can eat a whole steak, and they can't. And they're not going to take it home.
Why won't they take it home?
I don't know whether they're going to take it home or not. I don't want to give them the chance, okay? So we don't give out doggy bags at Ted's of Beverly Hills. Eat your steak where it is or leave it on the plate. If you leave it on the plate, a lot of times they're going to ask you, why did you not eat that?
Oh, Ted, you're kidding. What? Coming to your restaurant should be a relaxing experience.
It is a relaxing experience.
But not when you're asking people why they're not eating the steak.
If someone comes in and has served one of the most delicious steaks in the history of God on this planet and they don't finish it, you better damn well want to know why they didn't eat it.
Well, what is the excuse they give? What's the reason?
Oh, it's too rich. A lot of times it's too rich for them. It's so delicious. It is so beautifully cooked. It's so beautifully seasoned. It's too rich. And they just, I've seen people go, I love it so much I'm going to vomit it up because I want to shove it in, you know? And I say to them, all right, I understand that. But you have to eat it anyway, and if they don't, I make a mental note, okay, I don't want them in my restaurant anymore.
Wait a minute. You want them to eat it even if they throw up?
Yes, because that's how good they know it is, and they know they want to eat it, but they don't because they're afraid they'll throw it up because it's too rich and too seasoned well, and it's just...
Right, and you don't want to give them a doggy bag.
You don't let people take a doggy bag out of your restaurant. It looks like, you know what, thank you very much. Yeah, sure, I'm taking it home. No, I'm not. I'm going to take it and throw it in the wash.
Jesus.
Well, what's so funny?
Have you ever seen anybody... So you saw someone do that?
I've seen people walk outside, look around, and take our doggy bags and overhand them into this flood control channel right across the street from the restaurant. And I'm telling you, I'm not going to let it happen.
Well, why would somebody...
Because it's too rich.
Your food is so delicious, so rich with flavors and seasoning that people can't eat it. They'll vomit it up.
That's what, yeah, exactly. And my philosophy is, well, isn't that too bad? Eat it anyway.
Have you had people, so you force people to sit there and eat it?
But Well, they don't have to eat it, but they're not allowed back in my restaurant. What are you talking about? What's the matter with you?
Well, Ted, I got to be honest with you. I have never not finished a steak at your restaurant.
You're damn right.
Okay, but if somebody couldn't do it for whatever reason, maybe they're sick.
Then they don't have to, but they don't get back into Ted's. Because I'm not going to have that same guy come in and say, excuse me, can I have a doggy bag so I can walk outside and then just toss this under someone's car? So, you know, you don't know, you don't see.
All right, man.
Phil, it's the restaurant business. It's something you don't understand. I think it's something that in due time you will. As we say at Ted's of Beverly Hills, don't ever give the customer an excuse for not eating your meat. Put it in the mouth and swallow it at Ted's of Beverly Hills.
And go.
While down what the on fuck is this?
Hold on. What is this, bud?
I said you wanted to close out with it.
I play this in the restaurant as a gag. I don't want to close out with it. Turn it off. Yeah.
Bud?
That's what Dunny wanted.
Of Beverly Hills.
All right.
Steakhouse. Yeah. Come on down.
There's a guy with a doggy bag right now. You're not going to believe this, Phil. There's a guy with a doggy bag right now. Where are you going? Where are you going with the doggy bag?
The food's very rich. It's so delicious. Please eat it, huh? Here, you eat it.
But you don't get back in.
Fine with me.
That's what?
That's fine with me.
Ted, this is what you're letting yourself in for.
All right. You are 80. You no longer get a Ted. Okay. You don't get a Ted no more. Okay? All right, go to the... God damn it, man.
Come on down, folks.
To Ted's of Beverly Hills. Let me tell you something. You're going to take what I give you.
Jesus, Ted.
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
Hey, mister. Hey, sir.
Oh.
That's you with my meat in your mouth. Oh.
What happened? Ted, what happened? Ted, what happened?
He hit me.
He what?
I said he hit me. Hit me, you know. No, no. Angelo, let him go. I don't give a fuck.
Hey, Ted, we're still on.
I don't give a fuck about that either, okay? I just got hit in the mouth.
Well, Ted, you know something? You told this guy... You're mocking the guy by making him sound like he's gagging on your meat.
Let me tell you what. If I ever see that guy again, he'll gag on my meat.
I didn't understand that, man.
I said he'll gag on my meat.
You need to eat?
I said he'll gag on...
All right, Ted.
Oh, my God.
Ted Bell got just punched out. I don't know how many times that happened.
Bell's been punched out at least a couple times on the show.
In the history of the show.
Yeah. One of the times, I think Rudy Canosa belted him. And you know that, that's right, Chef Chedilia.
Yeah, Chef Chedilia beat him up with a serving pan.
I'll call him on the way home. Or Frank. Get Frank. Frank.
Yeah.
Call Ted Bell. He just got punched out by one of his customers.
What?
Call Ted Bell. He just got punched out by one of his customers.
Holy Christ. What'd she do now? Did she...
All right, folks. Just call him. World-famous Phil Henry Show, executive produced by me, Phil Henry, for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One, baby.
Okay.